Quick note, friends, when I say Dole, Bob Dole, in this podcast, what I meant was Al Gore. Bob Dole, Al Gore. That's the correction. So go ahead and listen, and I'll trust you to substitute that in your own mind. Hi, this is Tracy Sue, and you are listening to What Would Tracy Sue Do? And today we're going to talk about politics. Actually, we're going to talk about the election process and how it's made for a agriculture spread out 200 years ago reality, a reality that no longer works and that's costing us actual freedom and democracy. Currently, we're not living in a democracy. This is because we have the Electoral College. Now, if you don't know this, you can vote, and your vote actually doesn't make any difference. Your vote is taken into consideration by a group called the Electoral College. The Electoral College is based on a number of factors, including population, organizations such as states, political party affiliation, and these are the things that actually calculate who is the president of the United States. Now, twice in our recent history, the president of the United States has lost the popular vote, right? And by popular vote, I mean you go in a voting booth or you send in your ballot and you are one person, one vote. That is not how we do it. That is absolutely not how we do it. And the majority of votes have gone to the losing president of the United States, while the president of the United States has received fewer votes than the person who actually sits in the office. This happened between Bush and Dole, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and that was like a seriously close race as well. And that was about hanging chads, and that was a bit ridiculous. But George Bush did not win the popular vote. He won the Electoral College vote. Now, the Electoral College is not bound to vote for the people in his or her district who they voted for. They are not bound to reflect the popular vote in their voting. Essentially, this is a small group of people that take our votes into consideration and then cast the vote however they feel like casting it. Now, this made sense when we were a very large country with very far distances between our capital in Washington, D.C., and we didn't have a way to cast votes person by person. We had to send someone, an elector, a delegate, we had to send someone to Washington to cast the vote for our community as a whole. This had to happen because you had to ride horseback all the way to Washington, D.C. So that made sense at the time. The Electoral College made sense at the time. We also had a lot of voting restrictions in terms of who was allowed to vote as far as gender, race, and land ownership. So basically, only white men determined the vote, and those votes were taken by horseback to Washington to be cast by a small number of people who represented their local communities. And by represented, I mean represented what white landowner men, and then eventually further groups as they got accepted. So not landowners, yet still white men. And then, you know, as we've progressed into allowing people of color and women to vote, we still have been dominated by this white male perception of what should happen and what shouldn't happen in our country, in our union. Now, this is a very major problem with some very new technological advances that have made your vote, if you actually have an opinion, completely obsolete. Trump won by 80,000 votes in only 3 states. 80,000 votes in only 3 states was the determining factor for our elections. So if you were not in those 3 states and you were not a swing voter, or you were a protest voter, or you refused to vote in protest, you're responsible for where we're at right now. You're directly responsible. You're not just kind of responsible. You're not just, a bystander. You're responsible. You essentially voted for Trump. If you stayed home and didn't vote because you didn't like the two candidates, if you didn't balls up and make a choice, and if you didn't balls up and choose one of the only two candidates that could have possibly won, which was Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, you essentially voted for Donald Trump. And that's in practical, realized terms. You did not protest. That's fictional in your mind. That's to set yourself at ease for doing the bad thing, which was voting for Trump. Now, the electoral votes. So only less than 80,000 people in 3 states determined the vote. And the electoral vote was 304 for Trump and 227 for Clinton. So if you look at that and you see that the entire election can be determined by less than 80,000 people who populate swing states, and yet we have the person who lost as the president of the United States. Now, this is based on a system that was created at a time when this made sense. However, due to recent technological advances, we should not be dealing with this kind of garbage. We should be a democracy where one person equals one vote and the popular vote wins. Because of the way we are situated in the world, in the United States, in terms of geography and local culture and the way that we are interacting with the media is such a new way of doing things that we have allowed treason and espionage to be perpetrated on us by corporations. Corporations that own data, which has been used to tamper with our votes, and it's information not acquired by the CIA or the FBI or the government, quote unquote, as we have grown to fear, right? 1984 by George Orwell convinced us that this was going to happen, but he felt that it was going to be the government because he could not foresee the way that we are exchanging information in today's world. Data is the most powerful thing that you can have on the planet today. Data. And I'm talking about psychological data that we voluntarily surrender to people who we trust that turns out they should not be trusted. They should not be trusted. Cambridge Analytica. There's a documentary on Netflix called The Great Hack. Man, I watched this thing and it made so many things more clear. See, I try to avoid media because it's damaging to the brain and the heart and the soul. And also, I understand how easily you or I or anyone else can be manipulated based on an algorithm that Facebook collects. Facebook, Amazon's Alexa, Google, Apple's Siri, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. These companies, and they're companies, people, that's the important thing to realize. They're corporations. They're giant mega corporations that have more power than any state or even our entire nation, because they are world companies. They're global companies. They are mining information and they are selling it to the highest bidder. Now, the highest bidder in the Trump election, in the Brexit choice that Britain faced to stay or leave the European Union, the elections in Russia, and even Russia's tampering with our elections was made possible because we have surrendered our own data willingly and happily to companies who will sell that information to the highest bidder. Cambridge Analytica mined 50 million Facebook profiles using a free personality test that amused millions of Americans. Even if you are not on Facebook, users of Facebook grant the right for companies to mine their contacts. Which means that no one is safe. Russia does not have to collude directly with Trump to run attack ads on Facebook. And why should this matter to you? Okay, fine, they're running ads. We live in a capitalist country. Everybody gets to make their own decisions, blah, blah, blah. Well, other nations should not be having a say in our elections. And I know that's so hypocritical because the United States does take a big role in other countries' elections based on our own international interests. And that's exactly what Russia has done. They have, of course, because they are a major global power, they are interested in who they'll be dealing with in terms of international relations and politics and trade and power and warfare. Of course, they're interested. They don't have to collude directly with Trump to tamper with our elections by putting out fake news intentionally to specific demographics who are swing voters in swing states, who have answered a profile for a personality test or some other information, like things that they post on their wall, right? The Facebook wall. People share their feelings on Facebook. Keywords belong in those feelings. So if you post something that is anti-Hillary or questions the validity of Trump or the citizenship of Obama or any number of things that give any person who pays for it the information that says, I am a swing voter who is susceptible to a specific type of advertising that involves fake news on websites that have been put up that look legitimate but are not legitimate. They have targeted a specific group of people who can now flip the election in a way that is pre-designed. Using data as a method of political warfare, psychological warfare, information warfare. Our data is being exploited and harvested against our own democracy, right? So a democracy is built on a voter who has essentially balanced information so that they can make a clear and educated choice for who they think would represent their values. However, if you are a voter who has already known and decided that you are going to vote for Republicans because you've always voted for Republicans, and that's just what you do. That's what your culture does. That's what your, you know, local politicians do. You're going to vote Republican no matter what. Well, they don't want to waste ad money on you because you are a predetermined voter. You've already decided without even looking at the evidence that that's what you are, right? You're the base. You decided in 1973 that you were going to be against abortion, and you have voted consistently with anyone who says but does not take action on, anyone who says they're against Roe versus Wade. You will vote for that person without looking at the other information, the other policies, the sneaky things they're actually trying to do while manipulating your one policy vote. That's why it's so important to ignore one policy and look at what else that politician is saying and what they represent to align with those values, because you have been manipulated into doing things that you wouldn't normally do, into believing things you wouldn't normally believe. You have unwittingly aligned yourself with racists, white supremacists, bigots, cruelty, terrible law, criminal activity. And you've allowed yourself to do that, to align with that, by looking only at one aspect of our entire nation and ignoring the others. This is what Republicans consider their quote unquote base, is these one party voters. So they don't have to waste money on you, right? They don't have to waste money on advertising to you because you already decided your vote has been consistent with this since 1973 and you're not going to change because you've got your heels dug in, and that's that, right? So politicians don't want to waste money on you, because you're not swayable. And this goes for both sides. If you're adamantly a Hillary Clinton supporter, you're not going to be swayed away from that position. However, in this last election, if you were a staunch Bernie supporter, you were vulnerable to either doing a protest abstaining of voting, or a protest third party vote, or a stay home and not vote at all, right? If you were adamantly Bernie and adamantly anti-Hillary, you now become vulnerable to very targeted, very manipulative advertising with fake information, total distraction, insane amounts of exaggeration, not to mention the exploitation of your connections, creating chaos and havoc in your international relations, in your interpersonal relations, to manipulate what you think and what you believe. Now, if you're a swing voter, this means that you can see sort of both sides of the story, or you hate both equally. Probably more likely you hate both equally. True independence, I mean, I guess you can define yourself as an independent however you want. Essentially, you're refusing to make a choice between the two parties, and the two parties suck ass, okay? But we knew in the last election that it was a choice between the two parties. It was a choice between this candidate or that candidate. You knew that there was not enough support for any other third-party candidate to win. And that is why we have Donald Trump as the president of the United States, right? So independents who are convinced that the system sucks and both parties are responsible for that are easily swayed to move in that direction, to move in the third party direction. True independents who can see both sides, who can understand the positive and the negative of both sides, are also very susceptible to marketing and advertising directed to them specifically in their self-proclaimed fears, anxieties, traumas, economic concerns, and fake news was produced by Russia, by Donald Trump, by third party players, such as like the oil industry has a big stake in who wins, right? Like follow the money. Who has a huge stake in who wins? Pharmaceutical companies, insurance companies, oil companies. You know, our major problems of today, the things that we're emotional about, we broadcast and don't understand the way that our data can be used to manipulate us, to give us increased anxiety, to twist facts, and to make shit up altogether, just to completely make shit up altogether. We are manipulated with advertising, news or fake news showing up in our media feeds, right? And I've done advertising on Facebook, and let me just explain to you essentially how that works. You go on there and you choose a demographic, or you let Facebook choose a demographic for you. Okay? And the demographics are based on interests that Facebook users have. They are based on geography, gender, age, political affiliation, favorite television shows, favorite music, candidates that you follow, how you declare that you're going to vote, news or ads that are forwarded to friends or reposted to your own timeline, hashtags, acquaintances, people you know, people who follow you and people who you follow, that information is used to get a sense of your social community, your religious affiliation, your political stances, what you have in common with other things. So, for instance, I can say I want to send my ad to the news feeds of Elizabeth Gilbert's friends and followers, right? I want to send that to them because I believe that those people are most likely to buy my book or my t-shirt or my lip gloss, right? I have this information product, maybe this coaching program, and I want to send my advertisement to people who match a certain criteria. Now, when we're doing this as very small businesses, we can use those targeted people to sort of kind of deliver information to the correct people so that we're not talking to a whole bunch of different people who have zero interest in our product and who are unlikely to click or purchase our product. But when we're talking about 50 million people, Facebook profiles on Facebook, when we're talking about 50 million of those people who are swing voters, who are vulnerable, who are easily manipulated, Cambridge Analytica, who worked for Donald Trump, did that. Cambridge Analytica, who worked for Russia, did that. Cambridge Analytica was headed by Steve Bannon, and maybe that name is familiar to you, as he took a high office in Donald Trump's administration. They masterminded incredibly targeted advertising towards a relatively small percentage of voters who they knew, based on the data collected, they could exploit, mislead, lie to, manipulate. They knew that these specific people were swayable, were vulnerable enough to give them information. Like, some of these millions of profiles were tapped using a personality test. You give access to your newsfeed and information to companies, apps that you click on, and they're going to give you, you know, some funny engaging news or funny personality tests about what celebrity you're most like or anything like that that you have given any other company information to. They are collecting data, and not just on you, but everyone in your friendship circle, everyone who's showing up in your newsfeed, all of the private groups that you belong to and the business and political and social pages that you follow. They get access to all of that. And we just click the button so that we can just move on, right? And every website that you ever visit right now, you're being asked to accept the fact that they are collecting data and information on you using cookies. Right? So every website, because the European Union said, okay, well, you're not just allowed to mine data without people's consent. But if you read the fine print, if you are on the website, that implies consent, right? And if you clicked the accept button so that you could actually read what you're looking for, you have now consented to data mining. Now, people, I am not saying that the founding fathers fucked up in the beginning. They did what was appropriate and made sense for our geographical population situation. That is not the world we live in today. And I gotta tell you, this whole founding fathers nonsense, like, so what? They're gone. They're dead. They could not have foreseen this. This is a reality that was unforeseeable unless you are a science fiction writer like George Orwell, who wrote 1984, or Ender's Game by Orson Scott Card. Okay, these science fiction writers or literature mavens could see in the future, like, what could happen, what was going to happen. Like, they could go, oh, I see a danger here. But we have been misled to think that it is the government, the FBI, etc., who want to listen to your phone calls or your conversations in your living room that Alexa is picking up on. the government is not nearly as powerful in our lives as the corporations, these mega global corporations who are manipulating us for profit. I've had a few situations where I have made some sort of comment about economics or, a political view or something. And I have just had these random, very angry, very militant people show up on my news feed to cause chaos and wreak havoc. And I'm wondering, like, who the fuck are these people? And how did they even see my thing? And they tell me that my post was shown to them on their own news feeds. And they just followed it. They just followed me. Where I was like, I don't even know these people. Why are they so angry that I mentioned the price of, you know, everything at the grocery store that's going up and what is going on with that, right? Like, I don't know this person, and they just came and did like this massive, brutal attack. Or I make a comment about Bernie Sanders, and suddenly there's all these Bernie Sanders staunch supporters angrily posting and responding to my posts. I don't know these people, and yet somehow they just happened on my newsfeed to create chaos and havoc and anger and confrontation. That's because Facebook chooses what you see in your newsfeed. They choose whose posts you're looking at. They choose what advertisers you will click on. They choose what kind of news or fake news they are showing you. And it is based on the highest fucking bidder. The highest bidder, the one that gives them the most dollars. It does not matter whether that is Russia or a political candidate's campaign, or someone who favors a political candidate's campaign, such as the NRA, who suddenly, when another school shooting happens, I think we're at 46 already. When another school shooting happens and people start talking about gun reform and maybe putting some sanity in there, suddenly you're seeing a mass amount of advertisements, but not everyone. See, that's the thing. Not everyone sees the fake news or the ads or the extremist political view. Not everyone sees those. Do you know who sees those? People who are on the fence. People who can be easily manipulated. People without really clear, firm sides and beliefs. People who will believe things like, oh, the Democrats just want to ban all guns, right? No Democrat says that. Democrats in general don't believe that. But there are specific people who are fed that information. They're spoon-fed that information because the NRA wants them to see it. The NRA is a political lobbyist. They have an agenda. Pharmaceutical companies have an agenda. People in certain industries, corporations in certain industries have an agenda. And they put their money behind it because they know how to use advertising to manipulate people. They know that putting specific articles in someone's news feed will sway their opinion because their opinion is not fixed in the first place. This is dangerous, partly because there's some kind of sketchy shit going on in terms of how they're acquiring this information, right? So Amazon Alexa has not told us that Amazon Alexa is constantly listening, yet somehow after you talk about your fantasy to go to Bali, they are showing you information, ads, items we think you might want to buy based on that information that you had in your living room with your spouse talking about your fantasies, or that conversation you're talking about your kids having an issue with something, and suddenly, like magic, the universe has presented you with an answer in the form of an ad for exactly the thing that is helping, that is going to help you. Okay, that's not the universe. That is a software program that is collecting information and data on you that you are willingly offering up by installing something like Alexa, which records and listens to all of your data. Apple's Siri also gets a ton of information. Google tracks every single thing you search for, including stuff you search for with the privacy setting. Yeah, you people who watch the porn, you know what I'm talking about. Or the thing you don't want to show up in your history because someone might catch you, your mom or your wife or your husband or your children, right? When you go incognito, as Chrome puts it, Google is still collecting your information and basing where their ad spend goes by incorporating all of the information that you feed it willingly. I mean, Google knows everything. Good God. How many things do you Google per day? So many. Google also owns Gmail. So how many conversations is Gmail tracking, right? And I'm not saying there's a person on the other end of Google who's reading your mail. In internet terms, there's a thing called search engine optimization, SEO. And you've probably heard this term somewhere. Maybe you have a friend who's a graphic designer or a business owner, and SEO is a big deal. Search engine optimization essentially works on keywords. Right? So you tell Google that you want information to be used by people who, if someone searches a keyword for massage therapy in Fort Collins, Google is a genius because it will pull up massage therapists in Fort Collins. But it's not genius. It is what the web designer has done intentionally to draw the people who are looking for them to their website. Search engine optimization, SEO, is used on Amazon for all of your purchasing choices, right? So if I have a book that I'm publishing on Amazon and I want to run ads on Kindle, or I want to show up in the sponsored, we recommend this for you sections, I give them the SEO, the search criteria that I want Amazon to follow so that they can come to my book or my website or my Instagram feed. And when you're using SEO, and we do it in everything that we do, whether that's a Google search or a website or your personal private Gmail or Yahoo, right? It's not just Gmail, it's Yahoo or whatever other search engine you use to receive and send your mail, Comcast. Search engine optimization works on Facebook as well, or Twitter. That's what hashtags are. They're keywords. They're keywords used to attract people to follow you, for you to follow them, right? You use a keyword and it notifies everybody who's using that keyword in their ads or their website or their business services or their Facebook page or their Instagram or their Amazon searches or what they ask Siri when you click the Siri Apple button. These are huge culprits in what is essentially data warfare. It's information warfare. It's information treason and espionage if put in the wrong hands. And we have some really powerful, super powerful people in charge of these corporations. Now, here's what disturbs me about it. It's that we think it's okay for corporations to exploit our information like this because they're not the government. But the government is using that information to exploit who is in the government. And our government as an entity has only one calling, and that is to represent the people, for the people, by the people. But a corporation has only one motive, or an electoral candidate only has one motive. That's a profit motive. And I don't understand why we're not more scared of the profit motive than we are of this random government mysterious fear that the government's collecting information. Dude, the government isn't collecting the information. They're buying it, and we're giving it to them totally freely. We're begging them to receive our information. This really, really, really matters when we're talking about 80,000 swing voters who are easily swayed and manipulated by being spoon-fed false news or extremist ads or apocalyptical information and ads. We have to get rid of the Electoral College. We have to make it easy for everyone to vote and have a one vote. One person, one vote. One person, one vote. That is a democracy. What we have right now is not a democracy. One person, one vote is a democracy. Regardless of what region you live in or what city or what the predominant religious culture is, you should have an equal vote to everyone else in the country. Don't you think? Don't you agree? Don't you want your vote to count at least as much as these 80,000 swing voters and these 100 million voters who straight up refused to vote because they didn't dare make a choice? Don't you think that your vote should count at least as much as those swayable 80,000 people? I mean, essentially, I live in Colorado. I'm not one of those people. So my vote did not matter one bit because of the Electoral College, because of the way that we use the two-party system to assign delegates, because of the way that we choose Electoral College voters, which is very much in the two-party system. If we want to break the two-party system that's had its hold on America since the beginning, that starts with getting rid of the Electoral College. It starts with not giving so much power to these two parties to manipulate the system. It starts with treating our data and our minds as what they really are, which is a very valuable commodity. Now, this company, Cambridge Analytica, is supposedly out of business, but come on, people. We know that that's just whatever. Who cares? Because they're going to sell the information to whoever, whatever company asks for it, whatever political affiliation or candidate asks for it, and whatever country who asks for it and will pay a high enough number, we are allowing them to tamper with our election process, making our educated votes obsolete. This should concern you whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. This should concern you greatly. And unfortunately, we are in an economy where it's pretty much impossible for you to guard your information. It's virtually impossible for you not to have your data collected on your email. It's virtually impossible for you not to be in the database of Facebook, even if you're not on Facebook, because your friends and your family are on Facebook. It is impossible for you to guard your information unless you completely get off all data, all cell phones, all search engines, and all social media, which I don't know how you would ever make a living doing that if you're off all of it. Like in today's world, I have no idea how you would ever make a living doing that. You can't even open an account without an email of any app, of any, you know, cash processing service. Now, in addition, we have enough information to make cryptocurrency a viable financial transaction with such strict encoding that virtually no one can break it. Why are we not using that for our elections? Like, what is this voter turnout? You either have to use snail mail and mail it in, or you have to register months in advance for you to even vote, and you have to physically go down to the voting booth, but it's not a day off that you get. Like, what is that? We can use encryption to vote at home from our fucking phones or our computers. Why is someone not registered to vote just because they turned 18? I mean, hell, they'll make you register for selective service. This is a serious problem. And I'm asking you to guard your information. But more importantly, I'm asking you to guard your brain. I'm asking you to understand that when you are online, you're a commodity. You are susceptible to manipulation through media and advertising and marketing. And I know you don't want to believe that because we think we're so much smarter than we are, but we're not that smart. We are mammals. We tend to culminate with our packs, our tribes, people who agree with us, people who share our values. And that's great, but that also makes you susceptible to manipulation and to repetitive lies in order to control your vote, to control your behavior. And none of us are smart enough to not be affected by it. None of us. We are all affected by it. But if you are a protest voter or a swing voter, you are the one who will be targeted most heavily and most aggressively with the wrongest shit by the baddest people or countries, including Russia. So ask yourself, why is this in my newsfeed? And if it's being shown to me in my newsfeed, that means someone's trying to manipulate me. Why is this in my Google search return? See, if I type in a Google search return on one computer and then I go to a totally different computer and type in the same search term, different results show up based on the data collected by these companies, by these search engines. And that is determined by who pays the most money for your attention. Watch what you're giving your attention to. It is the most valuable thing that you have, is your data and your attention. So be wary, be cynical. Remove yourself from as much media and social media as possible so that you can think clearly without being manipulated. so that you can really think about what it is that you truly value and you truly believe, because that's not happening in America right now. We are not tuning into our own conscious, our own consciousness, our own conscience. We're not tuning into that because we're allowing other people to tell us what our conscience says or what our soul says based on old affiliations, based on an old model of how the world used to work, but not based on today with these rapid, fast changes and these massive global financial motives and profit motives. It's bigger than you. So watch it. Watch what you're doing. Watch what they're serving you with a spoon. Like, here's your spoon feed, baby. Eat this up. We know you're the one who's going to love it. Who's going to believe it? We can't afford this. We can't afford this as a nation because it's causing us to make really terrible choices. So contact your representatives and tell them no more electoral college. Popular vote. Your vote should count. My vote should count. And I'll tell you right now, if you're not straight up voting for whatever Democratic presidential candidate steps forth as the leader in the campaign, you are voting for Trump with Russia. With whatever corporation spends the most money on your vote, you are voting for Donald Trump. If you do not vote for the Democratic candidate, that's a fact, people, because with the swing vote, with the Electoral College, instead of one vote equals one vote, with the way we're doing this geographically and per population, but not in accordance with the actual percentage of people, one vote, one vote. If you do not choose the Democratic Party candidate in the national vote, you are electing Donald Trump. There is no out. There is no protest vote. We cannot afford it. And you cannot afford to be a one-party voter who refuses to look at who you are associating yourself with and asking yourself if you really align with those values, because Roe versus Wade is being so manipulated because you're not looking at the rest of the platform. You're not using fresh eyes. You've decided how you're going to vote for the rest of your life, and you did it 45 years ago. Or based on the people around you who made their decision 45 years ago. You are responsible for the whole platform, not just that one thing. You are responsible if you don't balls up and vote in opposition to Donald Trump. A third party vote doesn't count. A third party vote is a vote for Donald Trump. A vote that you don't go cast is a vote for Donald Trump. A vote based on false news is a vote for Donald Trump. A vote paid for by whatever corporation has the money to get the data and manipulate you with it, you're voting for Donald Trump. And I swear to God, I hope that that's not something you're willing to do, because this is embarrassing. And it's scary. And we cannot allow this for another 4 years. It is sucking the hope out of our country, of our people, of our population. It is sucking the hope out of us. Now, that's what Tracy Sue would do. I would cast a vote for the Democratic candidate for president. I don't even care who it is, because this can't happen. this Donald Trump thing cannot happen. And we're all responsible for that. I don't know how to segue into this, but I do want to tell you, oh my gosh, about this fantastic product that I found, magnetic eyelashes with magnetic eyeliner by Lash Liner. Oh my gosh. A couple of months ago, my son reconfirmed that I should never wear mascara again when he looked over at me and he saw flakes of mascara under my eyes. And this was the best mascara I've found so far. And he said, I don't think you should wear that anymore because it's the flakes or it's the smears or it's the raccoon eyes. Oh my gosh. How dare you cry of happiness or sorrow if you're wearing mascara? So I've been on a quest for a long, long, long time to find the perfect solution. Eyelashes extensions are super expensive, and I'm convinced that they do pull the natural lashes out of your eyes and break them. So that isn't a great solution. And oh my God, I am too clumsy to try to work with glue on my eyelashes. Like, that is just a recipe for disaster. I've tried the grocery store brands where you magnet lash on top and magnet lash on bottom. I cannot get that to work. There's no way I can figure that out. But this, oh my gosh, it's a liner that has magnets in it, and you just swipe that on over your lid and you just pop, pop, that easy. I'm not even kidding. Like, pop, pop, there you go. And then you have these lovely lashes. And they look really natural. It's pretty crazy how natural they look. And they have all different kinds. So they have, from the Oregon natural look to the super glam over the top, drag queen look. So you can really choose based on your personality and what you're comfortable with, or even what the occasion is. You could have different lashes that you wear to different occasions. And I know, like, I have blonde eyelashes. So, my daughter has these glorious, beautiful eyelashes that just go practically all the way up to her eyebrows. I do not. As women age, we often lose our eyelashes. Or if you're like me, you have blonde, so you can't see them unless there is mascara. And the eyes are the window to the soul. And I want to highlight that window. And I want to do it in this very captivating, provocative, open way. I want to express myself in that way without all of the negative side effects of other false lashes and mascara. So I have a special for you. You can get the combo set. It would normally retail, I think, at $75 to get the liner and the lash of your choice. It's the lash of your choice. But it's $55 for the whole set if you follow my link. And remember, these are reusable. You can reuse these many times before you need to replace them. So it's actually not that expensive, especially compared to, like, I'll spend $25, $35 on a great mascara. So the address where you can get that special deal is tracysue.com/lashes. That's tracysue.com/lashes. That's TRACEESIOUX.com/lashes. And you'll get that $55 promotion deal. And this is also a great way, a fantastic way, to support this show so that I can continue to maintain it, and keep delivering it to you for free. So I think my commission for any set of lashes is about $10. So thank you so much in advance for that. That really helps with the cost of producing the podcast, as well as keeping my family going and moving. So yeah, that was a great little segue, I know. Please be conscientious about your vote this time. And I'll talk to you next week. Ciao.